This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. After just 1 week, we are back. I'm cashing in on my promise, Dylan. The show last week was very long, so we only briefly touched on two topics we originally wanted to go over in the show last week. The Champion Carnival and, of course, the N1 victory. Noah number one. We're going to talk about that a bit more today. And pretty much first and foremost, the reason that I wanted to do the show this weekend is that my schedule next week is so jam-packed that I probably can't do a show next week. So we're back here right now. And it's good to talk to you again.
It's so good because we missed a few weeks before the last episode. And now today we are back for a wonderful and great show in so many ways that we're going to have. And I would like to shout out all the listeners out there who listened to the last show and is back and are back again for this one. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about all these tournaments. Eastern Lariat is tournament headquarters by far, especially considering I just caught up to all of the Tokyo Joshi Pro and the DDT tournaments on our Patreon, patreon.com/Eastern Lariat. So the tournaments are all caught up on. And now we're going to jump ahead into the future with these prognostications, you could say.
Exactly. But on the topic of Tokyo Joshi Pro, they are going to resume their activities for the finals of the tournament on 8/29.
Yep.
Unfortunately, though, Stardom once again had to cancel their shows, their upcoming shows, due to a positive COVID-19 test. So what does that mean for the five-star Grand Prix right now?
It's really all up in the air, I would have to say. You know, I think if things had gone on as normal, missing the original shows they had to cancel would not have been that big of a deal. Just purely in the tournament, never mind financially or the virus or whatever. Just in terms of the tournament, they could have easily have made them up. But now, missing so many shows, we're starting to get into murky waters, so to speak, where things are going to have to be majorly changed if they want to continue this tournament and at least want to finish it, or they're going to have to adopt some kind of, you know, abbreviated format to finish this tournament. And I don't know how they're going to do that. It's just a really unlucky situation for them to be in. But, you know, I do think that when you do any kind of shows in this environment right now that we're in, especially in Japan, we talked about it last week, we've talked about it the last few episodes. Things keep getting worse with the virus. They're not getting better. So yeah. I think if you run shows, you have to be prepared in the back of your head that, hey, this is a possibility. Like, whether it's them, any of the tournaments we're about to talk about, New Japan, and all of the listeners out there and all the fans of Japanese pro wrestling, right now things are very, very up in the air in general, and we don't know what's going to happen. But I do think that that they hopefully have thought about this throughout, and we've already seen multiple people, when it comes to the world of Japanese pro wrestling, we've already seen multiple people contract this virus, including two on Stardom, and hopefully they could just stay home, stay out of sight, out of mind, and everything else, away from everyone, and, you know, for the next 2 weeks until this gets better. The update said that the two who contracted the virus are getting better. And so it looks like there's no danger, imminent danger or anything for their health, just more so keeping everyone else safe. So I think they made the totally the right call. It's just an unfortunate thing that has happened. And as far as the tournament goes, it's really up in the air. I can't even speculate on it, but it's going to be difficult. Just look at what we've lost already with the shows. They're going to have to figure out some kind of abbreviated way, or perhaps, you know, in previous years and in previous shows, and not even with Stardom, but other shows too, like Big Japan had a show like this recently. Occasionally you'll see something happen. They'll say, hey, we have an afternoon show and then a night show. Perhaps they could split up some of these shows to have two in one day somehow to make it work. But that's only speculation on my part.
Yeah, sometimes they do that when they're in Osaka, for example. Mm-hmm. Just count it. I think 12 matches of the Grand Prix are canceled or, canceled, I guess, right now. Maybe rescheduled. We don't know right now if they
best case scenario postponed. At least, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll do something similar to what Big Japan did with their Ikitosen Strong Climb earlier this year, when they just went to claim all the matches a draw that they couldn't do due to the virus situation. But that would, of course, completely reshuffle their booking, and that may end up in a situation where, much like in Big Japan, where Quiet Storm all of a sudden made it to the semifinals. To the finals, by the way, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, that is really something that's up in the air, as you said. We really don't know what's happening, but from this point on, all shows until August 30 are cancelled. That also includes their double shot in the new Yokohama Budokan that they planned, which is really unfortunate because they were going to be the first wrestling company to run a show there.
Mm-hmm. It really is unfortunate.
Yeah, but on a brighter note, in all other companies that had issues with the virus recently, we got the news that there were no further tests that were positive except for Kotaro Yoshino in 2AW. So let's hope that this trend at least will continue. But from here on, Dylan, we wanted to talk about the Champion Carnival of All Japan Pro Wrestling. We already went through the lineup last show, but I quickly want to bring that up again, remind everybody who is in the tournament. So the Champion Carnival, Block A, it's the Triple Crown Champion Zuwama, the All Asia Tag Champion Zeus, Jin Leader Jake Lee, Kuma Arashi, Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio, and in Block B we have Kento Miyahara, Shuji Ishikawa, who is the All Japan Tag Team Champion, of course with Zuwama as well, Yuma Aoyagi, Shotaro Ashino, and Yoshitatsu, who of course is the Gaora TV Champion and the Corona Intercontinental Champion.
That's right. What a champion he is, Striga as well. Big time star in the tournament. Yeah, so we definitely needed his participation. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes along, and I guess we can get into the tournament right now with Block A and Block B. Just like we kind of mentioned last week, I think we'll just kind of reiterate what we said, or I will, that I like the smaller format with the less people in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing, regardless of the virus. I would rather there be more people who can win and, you know, cut out a lot of the fat. You know, like I said, I mentioned guys like Ryoji Sai or whatever. You know, it's like, he's cool. Like, you know, it's not like he's some terrible worker or anything, but he really adds nothing in terms of, is he a threat to win, or does he have any interesting matchups, or will he provide any great stories going forward? He's literally just a body in the tournament to have matches. So I'd rather cut some of those guys out and focus more. And we've still got, you know, a guy or two in there that maybe aren't the greatest, like Yoshitatsu. But even still, I would much prefer this format. Or I mentioned it last week, you know, maybe four blocks of five. But I like the blocks of five. I think that's a very good number for a round-robin tournament. And it keeps things short to where you don't have to have a million shows to do these. Every guy can have their four matches, and then we can get on to the finals.
Yeah, you know, the one guy that I'm really missing in this tournament just is Yusuke Okada. The thing, though, about him is that they don't really seem to focus on him right now. And I don't know why that is. It is very unfortunate what happened after he split from Evolution. You'd think that he would go on to, like, feud with, for example, Hikaru Sato, or have a few matches here and there with Shuji Ishikawa, or even with Zuwama, but they just broke him away from the group, and he is now in the middle of nowhere on the roster. And they, in my opinion, they completely 100% dropped the ball on this potential storyline with Okada versus Evolution that could have brought him to the next level that he should be on right now. And him being in the tournament, I think, would have been a great next step too.
I 1,000,000% agree. And I've been on board his train from the beginning, pretty much. Like, I've always said that I think he has the most potential of any of their guys. Like, you know, more than Jake Lee or Nomura or any of their guys. I think if Okada, if he put on some weight, he has that kind of potential. Unfortunately, they appear to not agree with me to the point where, you know, you say you missed him, but even in the April version of the tournament, he really wasn't even on the radar for that. When it happened.
Yeah, that's true, though. In April, we were still talking about a different time frame with a lot of foreigners, or with some foreigners being in the tournament and some non-All Japan talent being in the tournament. And it was half a year ago, and he still was maybe on the uprising. He could have made the cut for the tournament. Yes, I see that. But I think they were still like portraying him as a somewhat of a junior. Maybe they are still thinking that he's a junior.
I was just about to say, I don't think that's a very big difference from now.
Yeah,
like I said,
that's true.
You know, there's a lot of, I mean, like, there was more, so many more guys in the tournament. It was double the field, even with mm-hmm. extra guys. You're still looking at a very similar field of All Japan guys. Probably, now you have guys like Ashino that are in that maybe weren't around, just in time. So that is one improvement from the earlier version. But Okada, I love so much, and I wish they would push him more. But I don't know what to say because they dropped the ball on like a lot of guys.
They have also dropped the ball on two others that are in this tournament too. We're going to talk about them too.
Yeah, yes, I think we're thinking of the same two people. But but yes, I just think that he's the one that hurts me because he is a trueborn, and just seeing him on the documentaries, just from a wrestler's perspective, this guy has such a high IQ. Like when it comes to pro wrestling. He just really understands everything about this. And I feel like he has so much potential, charisma, great look. Even though I prefer the blue to the yellow, I will be honest with you. But even still, everything about him is so good. I think he has so much great stuff to him. You mentioned Sato. He had a great match in 2000. If you don't believe me, watch his match versus Sato in 2019 on the Aoki show in June 2019. That was an incredible performance from still young guy, Yusuke Okada. And now, like you said, it still feels like he's there. When you break him out of the group, I see where you're coming from, though, that maybe you expect him to move forward a little bit and just have some, no pun intended, but evolution as a character. And unfortunately, that has not happened. He's really just, like you said, in no man's land, teaming with Yoshitatsu, which to me is even lower than what he was doing in Evolution. So it sucks. Like, you know, there's no real nice way to say it or good things to argue with you about. You're completely right. And I wish they would do better. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who are All Japan fans that see this guy, if they watch the undercards, they see this guy, see his work, see what he has, the tools he brings to the table. And unfortunately, they've dropped the ball. And like you said, I think it's really, really more of a company-wide problem than just him. But still, this one hurts me a lot because I've so much supported him and been such a fan of his that I wish that he would be in this tournament, especially with the way things have gone. Like you said, no foreigners, only an outsider. I guess, technically, the Infants are outsiders. Technically they are. But still, you know, you think that they could have a spot for him. But unfortunately, it didn't play out. And it sucks. I wish it was different.
Remember our half-year awards? We basically praised All Japan a lot for their empty arena shows because
yes,
they put a lot of good stuff together during this time of the empty arena shows. But at the end of June, it seemed that they suddenly lost their train of thought entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And this just continued.
I would even go back to the end of May. Like, that last show was really good in terms of having a great match on it. But if you look at the booking, they had this great feud built up with Ashino and Kento, and suddenly they completely changed everything to have Ashino in the title match. They're doing stuff with Okada. And remember, even then, like, another thing that kind of makes me, kind of say he was off the radar, Okada himself, his storyline of breaking off from Evolution was that he lost every single match he was in. And, like, screwed everything up for the team. So that, to me, is not a star waiting to happen, to be honest. Even though, on paper, you see him breaking off from the group, but his gimmick was that he loses all the time. And that's not a good sign for him, unfortunately. I felt that at the time.
If you do that story, Dylan, sorry, but if you do that story, that he is losing all the time, and then he breaks away from the group, the logical next step would be breaking off and winning. Yes. Because apparently something in Evolution held him back that he couldn't win, and now he should be back on the winning track, but he's not.
Well, he beat Sago in the hair match. Ooh. Like, great stuff there. Big push. But no.
And I mean, I love his new look. He looks amazing.
See, you like the look. I like the blue better. Like I said,
I know you do, but
to me, the blue is much better. I said, I disagree. But it's really a minor thing. He looks good either way. Like, you know, like just him himself, he has a great look to him. Like, no matter what he wears. But, you know, so it's really a move.
Yeah. But let's go to the blocks here.
Yeah. Who's in this tournament? So never mind who's not in it.
Yeah. So what do you think about Block A?
A lot of Giro matches in my future, I have to say. But
what does he add to this tournament?
He gets to live his dreams, Trigger. Nope. Like, isn't that worth everything? So starting from him, he, to me, like I said, they see something in him, obviously, because they pair him with Kento a lot. Mm. They must really think he adds something to these shows in general. Maybe, I don't know, he's just not a very good fit, in my opinion, but I guess I say that about him everywhere. I know I've been negative on him in the past. I just don't think how are these matches going to work? How could you possibly have him match up against Suwama or Zeus? You know, and like that. He's by far the smallest guy in the tournament, like or on his block at least. You know, like Kuma, Jake, Zeus, and Suwama are all bigger than him.
I mean, I can see him working well with Jake Lee, just from their stature, just from their weight and height. Kumarashi, yeah, I can see him work well with him too because they are two former WrestleOne guys. But with the big dudes, I also have my problems envisioning how the match is going to go down. And then with Jiro, I also think or I also question the evidence of him being a difference-making wrestler, a difference-making player in a company. You bring an outsider into a tournament at first to create some new matches, but also to attract customers that wouldn't usually watch your product. That's the number one reason for bringing in foreigners or outsiders.
Right.
But does he really attract that amount of customers that they think he does? I question that.
Well, I don't think that's true at all. I don't, like, you know, I've always said that I think his influence is very overrated. There was a time when he was still in WrestleOne, like a few years ago, where he had a large fan base for whatever reason. Like whatever reason, he had a large fan base. I remember they did a huge poll with like all the promotions, and he was like the top 10 of everybody, even New Japan guys. You know, like so he had some kind of fan base. The last couple of years, he's been so, like, out of sight, out of mind, out of everything. To me, he doesn't come across as a big difference maker at all, and I don't think there's any evidence you could point to, at least this year, in 2020, that he's positively impacted All Japan at all. Like, I don't think he has any difference at all, in the tournament, in terms of, like, bringing in new fans or anything like that. To me, I think some people are going to be into his character. But I don't think he's really the kind of person that's going to drive new fans to come to All Japan or anything like that. You know, someone like Ashino, I think if you are a fan of him, or even if you've never heard of him, he adds to the promotion.
Yeah.
Jiro. Yeah. Jiro, I don't think adds to the promotion any. Like, the only thing he's done is really give way to have Kento in a bunch of comedy matches more than anything. And not even good ones, in my opinion, but that's just me. But regardless, I completely, you know, you're not going to get any argument from me, of all people, that he's not a difference maker. I don't see anything positive he brings, and I'm not looking forward to any of his matches either, to be honest with you, in this tournament.
So who's winning with this block?
We've got a couple. To me, I think it's obviously Jake Lee.
If you look, that's the one trick that we always pull on these tournaments.
Yeah.
If you look at the final day of the group stages.
Yes.
I should be paid for saying this sentence, by the way.
I agree.
We have Zeus versus Jake Lee and Jiro versus Kumarashi.
One's more important, do you think? Do you think Kuma is going to be challenging for that final spot, too?
I don't think he will. So, yeah, it all comes down to Zeus versus Jake Lee. And you think it's going to be Jake Lee, and I think it's going to be Jake Lee. I don't think they will go back to Zeus as a top guy. They tried once. It didn't really work out, even though the circumstances didn't really benefit him, but it didn't really work out nonetheless. So Zeus is a utility player in this tournament to elevate Jake Lee to another position of main eventing.
I will say that I like what he's been doing lately since they've got rid of all the tricks from Purple Haze and all the Voodoo Murders crap that I don't like.
The one thing that we didn't see coming, Dylan, was that the Purple Haze story of all stories was the one that made the most sense in the last couple of months.
Yeah, out of everyone, Izanagi has probably been elevated more than any other wrestler on the tournament. Yeah. See, he's the one that is really missing.
Yeah.
If Jiro had to go out, that's who we need to call. He has a win over Kento Miyahara this year, a pinfall victory. So he's definitely should be in the spotlight.
I mean,
but
qualifies you for the Champion Carnival, doesn't it?
It should. If Kento ends up winning the title again anytime soon, he should be the first challenger. I feel like Izanagi. But yeah, Zeus has done some good work though. I'm always a big fan of his as a worker, and I think we both agree on that. We've always liked him. He didn't take to the fans. Who knows why? But, you know, it just didn't happen. Sometimes stuff just happens that way. So, unfortunately for him, I agree with you. I think Suwama, there's really no point in him winning this block.
No.
You know, because he's already a champion, obviously. And Kuma's just not at that level. Like, so, to me, Jake is the obvious pick of this group. I think I'd be very surprised if anyone besides Jake wins. And Zeus is probably the number two, thanks to that match at the end you just said.
I think Suwama will drop one fall in this group stage. The question, though, is to whom? I can actually see them going with Jiro. Or,
so how would Jake make the finals if it's not Jake Lee?
Or it's Jake, and Jake loses in the finals.
I think that's very possible.
Because Jake already won the Royal Road tournament last year.
That's true. Like, you know, he's challenged for the title a bunch of times, to be honest with you. Jake, it's just, Suwama's in an interesting spot in this tournament. I think he, you know, would be interesting to look at. I could see a scenario where it actually comes down to Suwama, Jake, and like if Zeus wins, Suwama makes it to the finals or something, because Suwama, how could he drop falls to these people? Like, you know, like, why would he lose to Kuma?
Well, you wouldn't lose to Kuma. That would be a serious match. But with Jiro, they can just pull a few shenanigans. Jiro can throw his jacket at him and roll him up. 1, 2, 3, that's it.
But if he beats Jake, then how could Jake make the finals?
Yeah, that he can't.
See, that's the problem with the short blocks, too, is that you don't really
that's
have a lot of
That's why I said that I can see Jake beating Suwama here in the blocks.
Yeah, that's the only possible way. Like, if Jake is going to make the finals, if Suwama's making the finals, which I think is possible, I would say Jake is more likely to make the finals. So of Suwama. But hey, listen, look who's got the book. Like, when you have the right connections, you never know. Like, you know, Suwama could go undefeated. And now, you know, like I said, it's a short tournament, so if he was to win all of these matches and then lose in the finals, I don't think that's that bad. Of a story to tell.
No, and the thing is, you always have to look at the timing of this tournament.
Yes.
Because it's right around fall, and the only big tour they have after this should be the World Tag League.
Right. The real World Tag
League. The real World Tag League. So
yes.
They are not really building to a big show where they need a big challenger. Like, for example, Big Japan again. They just had Daichi Hashimoto win the Ikidosen Strong Climb as their champion because they didn't really have anything big coming up in April or May. And so with All Japan not really having anything big scheduled as of now, they could also go with Zuwama as the champion winning this one. Wouldn't hurt.
No, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Like I said, if you're behind Zuwama, you know, there are worse paths to take, I would say, than that. But, you know, I still think ultimately Jake is going to win this block.
Mm-hmm.
Really, performances are going to be interesting because, well, how do you think, because we've barely talked about this guy, he's kind of like the also-ran of this block, but Kuma, I think he's somebody that really needs to step up in this block because he hasn't really shown out as much as you would have liked in All Japan, and he's somebody that I thought had some good potential. I loved him as Kuma Goro, and I thought he had a lot of upside then. As Arashi, I just don't think he's really stood out much in All Japan. I think he would be well-served to really bring his A-game here. Or maybe impress some people. Now's going to be the time he could turn some opinions around on him, I feel like.
I mean, I feel like this is his real chance right now because...
Yes.
I mean, he would probably still have a job with All Japan just through the connection with Shotaro Ashino. But if he doesn't really perform on a high level here, he'll probably just be an undercut player or a mid-cut player.
Mm-hmm.
A tag team partner to Shotaro Ashino who takes the falls. Something like that, you know. I really liked his performance in Big Japan on the August 10 show. He was great there. He stood out. But Big Japan is a whole nother deal because in Big Japan, there aren't that many big guys like in All Japan. So he will really have to work hard in this tournament to create a lasting impression for himself because he hasn't done that so far in All Japan.
I like him as a talent. Like, that's the thing. He just hasn't really stood out, unfortunately. He had his match with Jake in June, and it didn't really work, like, for whatever reason. They get a second chance here in the tournament, which I'm happy about. I think they can both do better. So I'm happy to see them in the same block. I agree with you. Him and Big Japan is good, and he's been working there a lot. Like I said, him and Kodama have worked in Big Japan pretty decently amount. Since you know, they've gone freelance. Ashino has been pretty much strictly All Japan, and he's clearly the one that they care about most. Let's see how things go with that. But I think Arashi, he's not really a threat to win, but he's an interesting person to watch in this tournament. So I do like that, too. That's another good thing, is that each person brings their own little story into each block, you know, and their own little gimmick. Even if they're not really a threat to win, like Jiro and Kuma, they at least have a story going into the tournament.
Absolutely, and it's still going to be some fresh matches with Zeus and Zuwama.
Yep.
So that's going to be good too. Going to Block B, Kento Miyahara, Shuji Ishikawa, Yuma Oyagi, Shotaro Ashino, Yoshitatsu. Again, pulling my trick. Block B, final matches, Yoshitatsu versus Shotaro Ashino, and Kento Miyahara versus Shuji Ishikawa.
The big dog with the book is in the final match of the block. No, very little surprise.
Yeah, the big dog, though, just challenged for the Triple Crown against his tag team partner, Zuwama. So, after a while of Kento Miyahara, like half a year not being really in a prominent position, could it be the time again that they'll pull the trigger on him?
We're on the same wavelength, Striga, because that's exactly what I was thinking by myself, thinking about that match. You know, my heart wants to go with Ashino, but he's another one that just had a title shot in June, at the end of June, and they haven't really followed up well with him, although they did finally let them have some wins, in the Aoki show, for whatever reason, so that was nice that the Enfants got some wins leading into the tournament. But to me, Kento's been on the outside looking in. You can't just keep him goofing around with Jiro forever. Like, you know, like, this is the top star of the company. They've got to move him up and elevate him a little bit more for what they were doing with Jiro and the Great Adventure, or whatever his team is called, with Rising Hayato as well in there. Although, I like Rising Hayato, but he's still... Good. Yeah, he's good. Akira, always liked him.
Yep.
But still, like, this group is not going to be something that I think you can attach Kento with for years to come. He needs to get back into the main event scene. I think that it's very, very possible that he wins this tournament yet again after last year.
Then again, though, are they going to do Kento Miyahara versus Jake Lee again with Kento Miyahara winning again?
Why not?
That would completely bury any aspirations that Jake Lee would ever have. I mean...
Oh, it's already gone.
It is, like, you know. It may have already gone, yes.
I don't see any future where he's like the guy in All Japan, at least in the near future. They need to really rebuild him to get to that. It's going to take more than this tournament, in my opinion. But, I mean, I like Jake. If they decided to go against that and went with Jake, I'd be totally fine with that. But to me...
Burry was was a bit harsh, maybe, but...
the title shot at the start of the year was way worse than if he lost this match to Kento.
That is true. That is true. But, yeah.
I get where you're coming from, though. Logically, I get where you're coming from. I'm just going by how they booked him in the past year or so.
I have to backtrack a bit from that, because if you look at traditional All Japan booking, losing to one guy a lot has been a pattern of All Japan booking in the past, too. We're just living in such strange times today that there's a lot of... you lose track of things that happened half a year ago because there's so much happening. In the 90s, that wasn't the case with All Japan. So maybe they'll still have him positioned as a guy that they will focus on in the future, but they will have him lose here. It probably won't be the end of the world for Jake Lee. It may not be the end of the world for him as a top guy, but it would be another loss to Kento Miyahara that people would just point to and say, is he ever going to be that guy?
That's true. And I know we're both fans of his. He's got kind of a mixed reaction as like the idea of him being a top guy. Like, not everybody is really on board Jake as a top star in All Japan, but I like him. I think he's a talented guy. I really liked his matches with Kento, a couple of them for sure. I hated when he had the title shot. Like, somewhat similar to Ashino later on, and even the guy we're about to talk about. Like, to me, these title shots that are just losses just for the sake of them almost, I really dislike them. And I think that one really hurt him. So I think that's really what made me think that. Because, like I said, logically, I agree with you. But after that title shot, I can't really keep that in mind. But like you said, that's a tried and true story of All Japan, is that a guy has that guy who they just can't beat, and eventually he finally beats him. And maybe that could happen. You know, maybe we're a year away from that. I think many people, too, in the April version, many people thought Nomura was going to win the tournament, before his injury. Yeah, see, that's another thing we probably – that feels like a million years ago now after everything that's happened. But still,
I have a bad feeling when it comes to Nomura, to be quite honest.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think he will ever be the same again if he'll be back at all.
Yeah, I hate that, because he was showing so much, and it felt like this was his year. So that's like really bad luck, because they had gotten through, they had had the perfect story to set up Nomura winning, because they had had Lee and Aoyagi challenge, and then Nomura was like the last one. It was coming right up to the tournament. So it would have made a lot of sense for him to win, and who knows if he could have even won the title, but just a really sad story there. I do hope that he can get well eventually, because he's a talented guy too, good backbone of All Japan, but like you said, very sad injury with him. But Jake, I think it's very possible they have a Jake Kento final, ultimately, and have Kento win.
I mean, it's their match. They've built around that match so often in the last couple of years that it's so likely it's going to happen, especially if you look at the pairings on the final day.
It's an interesting rematch too, like to have a rematch of last year's final. I think that's a very cool little story.
It is. It definitely is.
But maybe it's not Kento. Maybe some other guys. Let's get to the rest of the block.
Yeah, the block, as I said, Shuji Ishikawa just had a title shot, is the tag team champion. I don't see that he'll be in the conversation for the win here.
The power of the pencil is mighty, Striga, when it comes to wrestling. That's all I'm saying.
He'll be rewriting the book?
Listen, it may be time. He may be saying, look, I put over Suwama. It's time to get my win back with the title, my own friend. But no, he's not going to win in all likelihood. Unless it would take something crazy, somebody getting injured or like a bunch of shows getting canceled at a very inopportune time. That's about the only way he would win. But it's very funny to think about. But he does. To be fair, since he has taken over, he's not been afraid to push himself in all Japan. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Still, though.
No, he's not going to win.
Let's just hope that he knows his role right now, and that is to still be a threat, but to basically put over guys like, for example, Yuma Aoyagi.
Oh, I wish that would happen. Like, Aoyagi is like the guy I really think they've dropped a lot of balls on this year. We talked about Okada. Aoyagi, man, he showed so much in the first month or two of the year. And ever since then, he's been basically persona non grata outside of one match with Ashino, which was also great in June. I think Aoyagi has so much potential, and I wish they would give him some kind of big win. I'd love for him to be the one. Like, if Kento takes one loss, I would love if that were to Aoyagi.
The thing, though, is they, as you said, they didn't really do anything with him.
Oh, yeah.
And that actually might be a red herring here, because when I'm looking at this block, the focus, of course, will be on Kento. Then we know that Shuji Ishikawa is a champion and he just challenged for the Triple Crown. Shotaro Ashino, he's new in here. A lot of focus will be on him. So I can actually see Yuma Aoyagi being a dark horse in this tournament.
I could see that too, actually. Like, you know, when you look at the way the block is laid out, he has natural potential wins. Like, he could really be that guy who could win to anybody and lose to anybody. But,
yeah. And I mean, a Jake Lee versus Yuma Aoyagi final would also have a bit of history.
Oh, I would love that. Like, that would be something totally fresh. You know, I mean, I guess unless Jake wins, because he'd get a title shot again. But, like, Aoyagi in the finals against whoever would be so fresh, such a good person to build around. I feel like he has a lot of potential. Like I said, a lot of tools that he brings to the table. And is an all-Japan true-born wrestler, which Ashino cannot say. So I think he adds that to the table. Like, if they want to go with somebody, I absolutely love Aoyagi. I think he's very underrated. You know, I really hope that he has a good tournament. You know, it's possible he loses a lot of this tournament too, but I'm hopeful that he can get at least... I don't really think he'll make the finals, but I do hope that he can at least get that one big win. Like, if he beat Kento, it wouldn't even matter about the rest. Or even, like, somebody like Ishikawa or Ashino. If he could get a win or two against them, I think he'd be leaving a very happy camper in this tournament, and maybe even elevated a bit.
Yeah, the thing, though, is he isn't even in a block match on the final day. So
just
he might
like
be
the champion
on the outside looking in.
Just like the champion.
Yeah.
Though. Like, so that could be something. They could retell the story. But yeah, I think it's very possible he actually loses a lot of this tournament. But I'm hopeful that he could get a big win. That's what I want to say.
What about Shotaro Ashino?
He's kind of the wild card of the tournament. I think he's somebody that everybody pegged when he came in May and had that great run in the first month or so. I think they've really had a pretty up and down run with him ever since then, unfortunately, and I think he's really lost a lot of steam. It's possible that he can win this tournament. I put him as the number two person besides Kento. Like, if they don't want to go to Kento, if they feel like they don't need him in main events right now or the title match right now, Ashino would be my plan B, so to speak, in B block.
And I mean, they also did have a story with him and Jake Lee when Shotaro Ashino came in. His big story was that he's not the tallest, unlike Jake Lee, but that he will prove that even though he's not the tallest, that he can beat guys like Jake Lee. And he went face-to-face with Jake Lee very early on. You mentioned the Kumarashi versus Jake Lee match. So that would also be a very natural story going back to what they did in April.
Yep, I completely agree. And I think he's in a better block for him, too. Unlike someone like Jiro, who's in there with four big guys, Ashino has some guys that he can work with, like Aoyagi, Yoshitatsu. You know, the big guys, Kento's a little bit bigger, but, you know, he's worked with smaller guys before. You know, Kento's deceptively big. Remember when Shingo was in the Champion Carnival? And Kento was like, he towered over Shingo when he was in the Champion Carnival. Yeah. And obviously the big dog is a big guy. I think it's a better block for Ashino than if he were in A block, personally.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see him in the finals, but I can also see him just be whatever he was in the last couple of weeks.
See, that's the problem. If that happens, a lot of people are going to be unhappy, because I think the expectation is that he is going to be the one to win the tournament. So I think if he does do that, but they're booking, if you look at how they book him, they don't treat him as a special talent or somebody that they focused on very heavily. Mm. And that's not a good sign. Like, similar to Aoyagi, as much as I like them, they just have not focused on them very, very much. And I don't really know how they're going to pull that off. But I do think it's very possible. Like I said, you have the natural story with Jake in the final, and that would make, you know, maybe that would be easier for maybe somebody who's, you know, like you said, whatever the time period, wherever you are, maybe you're a Western fan, maybe you're in Japan, maybe you've just been following this company for a long time. Maybe Ashino beating Jake in the finals would be better than Kento beating Jake.
It would actually be better.
I think so, too. I mean, like I said, logically, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Yoshitatsu.
A double champion.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say about him? He's always capable of having a good match with anyone in this block. He's also capable of goofing around a lot with anyone in this block. I'm just happy that they don't do Jiro versus Yoshitatsu.
Ooh.
But, yeah, he's a 2 to 4 points guy in this scenario, to me.
Yeah, he'll upset somebody and kind of like take them out, but other than that, he doesn't have a big role. And as a talent, he's fine. Like you said, when he's called upon in a big match, he can actually deliver, but for the most part, he's not a standout talent. Even in the Champion Carnival last year, he was pretty mid-level. So, you know, Yoshitatsu's fine. I have no beef against him. I just hope that what you said about him goofing off does not come to pass, because we've seen that in the last pretty much a long time now in all Japan, that really is more or less his thing, that he's kind of a goofball character. And I'd like to see more of a serious run for the tournaments. And I say that for every tournament, that I want serious guys. I want the title to be taken seriously. So Tatsu, he's more of a comedic character most of the time, unfortunately teaming with Okada most of the time lately. But hopefully he can have at least one really great match that makes you say, hey, Yoshitatsu, he's still got something to him.
Well, he always does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, so that's the Champion Carnival. Much like the Champion Carnival, the N1 Victory last year was a tournament of 10. This year, though, it's a tournament of 12, because we have two blocks of 6, with Block A featuring GHC Heavyweight Champion Go Shiozaki, Masa Kitamiya, Manabu Soya, Kaito Kiyomiya, Dragon Gates, Masaki Mochizuki, and Kazushi Sakuraba, which is interesting because just a couple of days ago, Sakuraba tapped out Go Shiozaki.
An interesting match setup in the tournament. Illogical build, like very, very traditional stuff. You know, a guy taps out the champion leading into the tournament. They'll
leading into
to
the tag
match.
Title match at first.
Oh yeah, leading to the tag title match at first too. Yeah, Sakuraba here. Very interesting block here. I have to say, I think this block is really cool. Like to be honest with you, I love the fact that they have Sakuraba in the tournament. He's old. Like, there's no question about that. He's not been in a tournament situation in, you know, decades.
I have to look that up, actually. I don't know.
I think they said something like it's been so-and-so, like, 25 years or something. I don't even remember. It may have been even a Kingdom tournament that he was last involved in, for all I know. But regardless, far from a noted tournament competitor.
Well, does the World Tag League count in New Japan?
That is true. The Tag League.
2015?
Okay, and who did he team with? That was
Yano, I think.
Oh, it was Yano. That's right, Yano and Sakuraba.
Yano and Sakuraba. Yes.
Yeah, That okay, totally makes sense. As
2014, I think also Sakuraba, also Toriano, yes.
Man, I love that they used him for that team.
The only other tournament that I have here is a 1 million yen tournament in 1997 in Kingdom. Yes, that's what you mentioned.
Nostradillon right now. The Kingdom, the million-dollar yen tournament, is whatever you said was the tournament that he was in. But regardless, I love that he's in this tournament. It's such so many fresh matches against all these guys. And very interesting styles. And that's another thing I like about Noah in particular, in comparison to like what we talked about with All Japan. All of these guys have pretty different styles. Mm-hmm. Like Sakuraba, MMA shoot style guy.
And you said that he's pretty old, but that style that he does totally works well with his age. I mean, he doesn't really have to fly around. He doesn't have to run the ropes a lot. He doesn't really have to do anything flashy. He'll just do his usual mat work, much like, for example, Shin Aoki does whenever DDT has a tournament setting.
Absolutely. He could totally be that style of guy. That's what I love about this Noah tournament. So many different styles. Look at this block. Sakuraba, shoot style guy, and very high level one, obviously. Masakita Miya, he'll bring the power. Soya as well. Like, they're two kind of similar guys.
I mean, that match is going to be great. I mean, we talked about the great Shuhei Taniguchi versus Manabu Soya match, and Masakita Miya and Manabu Soya, given appropriate amount of time, will be just that match.
Yeah, exactly. Like, very similar style. They'll have a really good match together. Mochizuki brings his kicking ability that he has. Very good striker. Yeah. Kaito, much more of a traditional style of wrestler, charismatic ace guy. He has a role in the tournament. And Go, with his big chops, his big lariats, his big Kobashi-ism that he brings to the table. And both him and Kaito, again, very similar attire. So that at least is a match since Go stole his gear in the early part of the year. So now there's a story right there between them. But I really like this block. I think it's actually a really good group of guys. Very interesting. Lots of fresh matches with Mochizuki and Sakuraba. And Soya, too. Like, all of these matchups are, like, pretty much everyone besides Go and Kaito and Kitamiya are all fresh matches.
Tokyo Kurikan Hall, October 4. Goshi Ozaki versus Kaito Kiyomiya on the final day of block action.
That could be a clue. Yes.
See, I absolutely think that Kaito will get his win back against Go. But that doesn't necessarily have to mean that it would be the deciding match of the block. It could be. But I can also... We talked about Dark Horses with Yuma Aoyagi. And given the development that Manabu Soya has taken in the last couple of months, I can see him as a dark horse in this block.
Well, it'll be a very dark horse, I think, for Soya. But I like him as a talent. Like, if they went that direction, I would be totally fine with it. I think he's put a lot of effort in and showed that he's not what he was at Wrestle 1 and trying to rewrite the story of his whole career, really, because, you know, if he'd retired when Wrestle 1 had ended, he'd be total footnote in the history of wrestling. You know, nobody would remember him. But now at Noah, he's really working hard to change that narrative. So I think that would be great. I just don't think they've really pushed him. And, like, another thing, any Congo member is kind of a loser.
Him and Akitamiya are out of the window.
That's just the way my brain works. Whenever I see a Congo member, it's automatically a negative thought. Not necessarily in terms of talent, because I like them as wrestlers. But, you know, they did give Kenno the title, you know, earlier, the national title. They had him draw with the champion, so they pushed Kenno a little. But Soya hasn't really gotten that rub yet, just in terms of wins. I just think the performances have been strong. If they want to reward him, I'd be totally fine with that. But I do agree with what you said at the top. I think Kaito is going to get his win back over Go. I think
that's the more likely scenario of the two that I laid out.
What about Mochizuki?
Yeah, that actually it was my next question to you.
Oh, yeah.
So Mochizuki, I mean, they did give him the GHC title earlier this year, and I think they see a lot in him. I think they I mean, they see so much in him that they, even though that he is a smaller guy, have him as a heavyweight in Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, why not? Why not have him go all the way through?
If a guy from B Block is going to win, I think he's a very good candidate. And you don't want to be Kaito, I think he would be probably the next in line.
I mean, yeah. Mochizuki would be a perfect fit with anyone from B Block, actually.
Yeah, exactly. See, so I think that, like, stylistically, he makes a lot of sense, actually. But, you know, and, you know, he is a Dragon Gate guy, but he's worked more prominently in Noah the last year or so, which is very interesting to me. Like, who would have predicted that at the start of, like, 2019? That, like, hey, Mochizuki's going to probably be mostly a Noah guy, like, you know, for the next 2020 or whatever. But I think he's done a great job. I loved his tag team with Marufuji. The M Alliance is a very strong group right now, much more pushed than Kongo. Wait, if you look at Muto, Marufuji, Mochizuki, look at the M Alliance, how strong it's been booked so far. Yep. So I think he has to be considered, you know, I think Kaito is the clear favorite, but if I were going for a plan B, I think Mochizuki would be a better choice than Go, but only because Go is the champion already. And you know, I'm not a big fan of the champions making it to the finals or anything like that. You know, sometimes that can work. It's not a bad thing necessarily. You know, it's something that you need to pull out very, very sparingly, like once every few years, every decade, yes. Something like that. But other than that, the champion should stay out of the finals. I think Mochizuki's a better fit stylistically, so he'd be kind of like my 1A option instead of Kaito. But Kaito is the favorite, for sure.
We don't really know what Noah have lined up after this tournament, because...
Yep, that's true.
They've not announced anything past this, I believe, because they cancelled their Sumo Hall show that was supposed to go down on November 22nd. So I'm quickly looking at the schedule here. They have a Kirken Hall show on November 8th. And they have an Osaka Eden Arena number 2 show. So no big shows. Yep. I don't know. They've pushed Go so much this year that I don't really see how a tournament victory would benefit him anymore.
No, he's done so much. Like, totally agree with you. Like, he's done so much. Even a finals run was probably, it's really not necessary.
Yeah, I think it would be wasted even.
I agree with you.
So Go is probably not going to win. Maybe not even go to the finals of this tournament. Masa Kitamiya, you said Kongo Alliance, of course. That's not going to happen.
He could have some good matches.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, Masa Kitamiya is basically the same talking point as Manabu Soya.
Yeah.
Could win some matches, could lose a lot. We don't know.
Who do you think, like, just before we get into the Sakuraba, we kind of talked about Sakuraba, but, like, let's say Kaito beats Go. I think everybody thinks that. Like, if we're doing a prediction contest, that's, like, one of the easiest matches to predict, Kaito over Go. Go, to not make the finals, would probably have to lose to one other person, at least.
Yes.
Who would that be in this block?
So, given that he lost to Sakuraba now, I think he'd beat him in a singles match.
Also important to note that could set up a future title shot to whoever beats Go in the tournament.
Yes.
So even if you don't win, that could be a big win for somebody. And I don't think Sakuraba as a world title challenger, I think I'm a huge fan of his. That would be cool as a match, but I just think that's a step too far, you know, for Noah right now. But maybe like if they build him up a little bit more, that would be kind of good. I just think coming out of nowhere and then getting a title shot, I think that's a step too far for Sakuraba.
If Kaito beats Go and goes to the finals, I'd say Mochizuki.
I agree with you. That's exactly who that's kind of why I brought him up earlier as like the dark horse or plan B or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy I have circled. Like he's going to do something in this tournament, I think, to either get a title shot in the future or, you know, get a win over Go or just make it to the final straight out.
I mean, that's also classic tournament booking in Japan. The outsider beats the champion to then get a title shot down the line. Well, of course, in Mochi's case, of course, he has been much more of a Noah guy than a Dragon Gate guy. Still, though,
he's still a Dragon Gate guy.
Yes, yeah. He's still a Dragon Gate guy, so that would work out for him. Like, beat the champion here, then lose the title match there, Classic booking, actually.
I completely agree.
So, yeah. We already talked about Sakuraba, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. All right, that then brings us to Block B. In Block B, we do have the other champion that you mentioned, Kenno, the GHC national champion at the time of this recording. We do have Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugiura, Katsuhiko Nakajima, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Yoshiki Inamura. I gotta say, I also really like this block.
Absolutely, this is a great block. Like every single person up and down brings a lot to the table, I feel like.
It's crazy. I mean,
Kenno, very hard to predict, I feel Kenno like, too, this
the,
one.
Yeah, Kenno as the champion is, of course, there to get a new challenger that we'll see how that works out, who will beat him to then receive a title shot at the national title. Since he's the champion of that division and he just had a title shot against Go, I don't see that he'll be a big name in this tournament. He'll still have his wins here and there, but he'll also lose one or two, probably two, to not make the finals.
Yep.
Naomichi Marufuji was the second to last challenger to Go Shiozaki. Remember last year in the N1, he lost all of his matches.
Yes, he did.
And this, of course, would be a moment for him to bounce back to prove that he still can go in a tournament setting like this.
It really makes perfect sense when you think about it. You know, I think he's definitely not going to be losing all of his matches again this year. I think he's got some, you know, of all the guys, to be honest, you know, he is really banged up all the time. You know, at this point, it just comes with his style, his career, and everything he's done. You know, but he is a legacy character in Noah. Has been booked pretty strongly throughout the year. Like he's been protected as he, you know, you would argue he should be, and he's going to be a guy that you could easily rally behind and see making a big run to the tournament. I don't think him winning this block is impossible at all, especially if Kaito is going to win a block. I think that's a very logical final, actually. But you know,
yes.
But he'll be good. Of the guys, he's actually the one, just from an in-ring perspective, I like the least, probably, just right now in 2020. Nothing personal against him, it's just he... the other guys are great, first of all, you know, so this is a really good block. But just for me, he's the one that I kind of slacking on, but I still really like him. Like I said, it just goes to show the interest in this block that they have with all these guys, that he's the down end of the guy. Compare him to Yoshitatsu or Jiro, and I think he's quite a bit ahead of them, just for me.
What about Katsuhiko Nakajima? When they announced the lineup of this tournament, he was the first name I actually thought about when I thought about who could possibly win this. Because a final between the two Axis guys, or a title match between the two Axis guys, rather, that could actually be something that the Noah fans would rally behind a lot, I think.
I feel like that is almost, I don't want to say the entire purpose of Go's title reign, but that is the big bullet in the chamber for this title reign, is to have them face each other. They've been protected, they've been a tag team, and a beloved one at that. Like, they've really been so over to the fans. You know, they've really elevated each other, and Nakajima is a great talent. You know, there's no question about that. He totally deserves any kind of push he would get. I think if you were to pick a favorite, I agree with you. He's the first name that pops up for me as well out of all of these blocks. I think the A block is going to be interesting. I don't, like, if Go were to make the finals, I don't think that it would have to be somebody besides Nakajima, because I don't think he would want to win that match.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, so if Go were to make the finals, I would change my mind. But if my prediction comes to pass, I think Nakajima would be my pick to win this block, and I would very heavily lean towards him to win the final as well.
Yeah, so... Huh. One possible final could be Kaito Kiyomiya versus Naomichimaru Fuji with Kaito winning?
Yes.
The upside of that would be, in Kaito's case, to rewrite history in two senses. A, of course, with his recent loss to Keiji Muto, and B, with his title loss to Goshi Ozaki, him winning the N1 and challenging Goshi Ozaki for him could rewrite the book, because he saw himself as the ace, as Noah. He was Noah at the beginning of the year. Then Go came, took his title and his colors.
and his gear.
And so that would be a story they could go with and basically explain everything that Kaito did this year.
Absolutely. I think it makes perfect sense. I think the one thing with Kaito, and why I would probably lean towards Nakajima, actually, is that they have this new team with Kaito and Inaba, mm-hmm. where they could be trying to build that up a little bit to elevate Inaba a little.
Yeah.
And Kaito's great. You know, I love him. I have no problem if he wins the tournament and goes for the title, but I think that is something to look out for. So, basically what I'm saying is, even if he doesn't win the tournament, he has something to fall back on, whereas Nakajima, if he loses, Go is always going to be he's always going to be focused on the main title, so Axis will have to take a back seat, and like that leaves Nakajima kind of in no man's land. So I think that's kind of my thinking on picking Nakajima over Kaito, but to me those are the two favorites, and I think there's a very realistic chance Kaito could win as well, but I just personally lean towards Nakajima for those reasons.
It's a little harder to predict this block though, because we don't have the one big match. On the final day, we have Marufuji against Nakajima and Sugiura versus Kenno. Still, though, Kenno beat Sugiura for the title, for the national title. Oh, no, Kenno beat Nakajima, right?
Nakajima beat Sugiura.
So that still, that then makes it much easier, actually, than I figured, with Sugiura maybe beating Kenno to earn title shot, and Marufuji and Nakajima, with Nakajima winning then.
It makes perfect sense when you lay it out like that. Like they've laid it out perfectly. And even if Marufuji was to advance to the finals to put over Kaito, it would make sense that way. So that's exactly how they should have done it. Like basically to leave the final matches like this. Very good stuff there.
Shuhei Taniguchi, we both love him, but we both know that he's nothing more than a utility player in Noah and in this tournament as well. So he will be there, will be probably getting like 4 points, maybe 6. But I think that's his ceiling. Yoshiki Inamura, the sixth guy in this tournament, he's the youngest and the least experienced, at least when it comes to Noah in this tournament. He has done some student wrestling before in his career, by the way. But in this circumstance, he's the least experienced of all of these. So he's in the role of getting the one upset and otherwise probably losing all of his matches.
I think he's awesome. I love him as a young talent. And I think he does a lot of good things. Even in the Big Japan tournament, I thought he added a lot in his role. So talent-wise, love him. But like you said, he's not going to win anything. He's not even worth talking about in terms of finals or anything like that. But, you know, it's still cool to see how much he's going to push these guys. I really look forward to him and Sugiura in a match. I think that's going to be great. Taniguchi, I completely agree with everything you said. The only thing with him is that I hope everybody just, again, I just want to beat this point home. If you wrote him off as Maybach, just give him a chance as himself. Great worker, like doing some really good stuff. And I cannot wait to see this whole block. Like you said, so many good stuff, so many good guys in this block. In this whole tournament, really, I think both blocks are pretty strong for a tournament like this. I'm very excited to see how it goes down. Overall, though, Nakajima, Kaito, those are the two main guys. A dark horse, I'm not sure who even the third guy would be, because those are the main guys in the blocks. I kind of said Mochizuki in the A block, and Marufuji in B block would be like those kind of guys.
Yes, but I think it's most likely that Nakajima wins this one.
I think so, too. I agree with you. Nakajima is the guy for this tournament.
All right. That's it, then, for the N1 victory. And the final talking point of
Hey,
this
before we
show.
move on, let me just kind of like say one more thing about all this. Which one out of the two, the Carnival and the N1, which one are you more excited for?
N1.
I just think from the talent involved, it's hard to say the other one. Like to me, the N1 is so stacked with guys and
yeah.
like fresh matchups too in A block. That like this to me is.
I mean,
I'd
Noah
be
has done a
surprised.
wonderful job of rebuilding their roster this year.
Absolutely, I'd be surprised if the G1 is better than this. Like on paper, like if they put a lineup that's as good as this, I'll be impressed. Like that's how good this N1 is for me.
I don't
Right?
think they will. I don't think they
I
will
don't
have a
think they
packed
will either.
lineup like the N1 Victory has.
I don't think so either. Like especially now with all these fresh matchups that guys like Sakuraba and Soya bring, like that's going to be really hard. Inamura even like you could always have the young guy matchups and see how much he's improved over the years. I just think this Mochizuki, another great outside talent. Like I said, to me this could very well be out of all the tournaments that have happened in Japan this year and will happen this year, this could easily be the best one on paper. I mean, we never know what's going to happen in execution, but to me, this could be a very strong tournament. I really enjoy this lineup that we have on paper here, so I cannot wait to see how it plays out, and hopefully it doesn't let us down.
Absolutely. So from here on, we move on to our final talking point, and that is actually the big, big talking point this week in the world of Japanese pro wrestling. The new Lidded promotion was announced a couple of days ago, and going back a few months, even going back to last year, we always thought it would be great to have another company that would go into another direction and that could be a more shoot-based oriented company. And it seems like that this Lidded promotion is going to be just like that. They announced a name for this group that at first looked a little bit goofy because it's spelled GLEAT, which would be GLEAT, but it's not pronounced GLEAT, it's actually pronounced GREAT. And our good friend on Twitter at Metal0515 said that GLEAT or GREAT is a word coined by the combining GREAT with the acronym L for Lidded Entertainment. So much like in the case of Seedring, it's not pronounced with an L, it's pronounced with an R. So it's GREAT. The executive director of this is Kiyoshi Tamura. And when they brought him in to Pro Wrestling Noah last year, we wondered what would be the purpose of this. He is the executive director, as I mentioned. The chief strategy officer is Nosawa Rongai, chief technical officer Kasayashi, and the observer is Riki Choshu. GREAT version 0 will be held on October 15 in Kurken Hall with nothing announced yet. But Tamura said that his ideal is the UWF Fighting Pro Wrestling. And that was a very important thing to say because he said in Japanese it's Kakuto Pro Wrest. Kakuto or Kakutogi is the term of fighting or different styles of martial arts. And he also said something that I found very interesting. History can't become history unless it's repeated. And as I said, they brought Tamura into Pro Wrestling Noah last year to watch a show ringside. And during his time in Noah, Hiroyuki Suzuki of Lidded, he is the president of GREAT, thought, I want to emphasize the strength of Noah and invited Tamura to the September 16 Osaka show last year. He invited him and asked him if he could watch the training sessions of the wrestlers in Noah, give him advice and more, and he invited Noah to become an outside director of Lidded. This led to the establishment of GREAT, which was the starting point of a plan to make his debut as his main focus. And Tamura also said that when he was a fan of pro wrestling, the matches that he used to watch were between Antonio Inoki, Natsumi Fujinami, Riki Choshu, Tiger Mask, as well as Akira Maeda and Nobuyuki Takada. So, of course, we know where he is coming from. And another very important point, another important quote from this press conference and this video that they put up on YouTube was that Tamura said it was an extreme form of pro wrestling and it was simply a match to show a fight, which is what he said. And looking back on his time as a fan, he added that pure pro wrestling has its good points, which, again, very good quote here.
Yes.
Some others, Kasayashi, he turns 47 this year and has a 28-year career in his rear mirror. Rear mirror, right.
Yes.
But he says he wants to challenge himself to see how far he can go. He wants to evolve, he says, and wants to show how far he can go at this age. Riki Choshu is a little bit more cryptic in his comments here. He says, in many ways, in a good way, great will give a great deal of stimulus to the industry as well. That is why I'm willing to provide logistic support. I can talk a little about my experience and give advice, whatever that means. They have two signees. Takanori Ito is the first one. Big fan of his. He has a karate background, so right down the alley of a shoot-based company. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly, they signed Soma Watanabe, the former Pegaso Illumina. He said he wants to become a professional wrestler who has absorbed everything from Mr. Hayashi, Mr. Nosawa, Mr. Choshu, and Mr. Tamura, and everyone else. So, for that first show, Kiyoshi Tamura said, in a sense, my worldview, Nosawa's worldview, Hayashi's worldview, and Riki Choshu's worldview will all be here. Dylan, from all that I just put together, from the briefing that they did, from the video that they did, what was your first impression of great? And what do you think is the ceiling of this group?
Well, I thought it was great. Striga. No, for real, I think that, first of all, those are two pretty good signings, I have to say. Like you, I always thought big of Ito. He was gone for a while in Wrestle 1 and never really got to find his footing, really. After he came back, and obviously the company closed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he's got a lot of untapped potential, you know, like that guy. And Pegaso, or Soma now, he is a guy that was, like, pushed right out of the gate when he had that gimmick. It's like he got a title shot within 2 months of the company just because they didn't have that many guys. So, yeah, like, you know, so he worked a very different style than his shoot style, I would say, as the Pegaso Illuminar type of guy. So now as himself, now they're doing this more shoot style thing. There's a lot of chefs in this kitchen, I feel like. You know, Tamura, I love him. One of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Amazing worker in rings and everywhere he went. UWFI as well. I just wonder how much influence he'll actually have, because you have guys like Choshu and Nosawa who have ran companies before and, you know, in the independent scene, and they've not been terribly successful.
I mean, you know, Tamura has two, but
yeah, that's true.
Over a decade ago.
Yeah, and a shoot style promotion, like, after 2000, it's like there's a clear and I'm the number one Battle Arts fan. But, like, let's just be realistic about it. You know, there's clearly a ceiling for that, and that's why there aren't any of them anymore, unfortunately. So, you know, that's great. You know, I hope Tamura has some good influence to bring in stylistic guys. Just with everybody involved, I don't know how this is all going to play out. I don't think it's going to be, or at least, let me put it this way. I would love if there was a new shoot-style company that came about and tried to bring this scene back, because I love that style of wrestling. Battle Arts is my favorite company of all time. Yuki Ishikawa is probably my favorite wrestler of all time. But I just feel like I'm keeping my expectations in check. That's what it's going to be. I think it's more likely that this is going to be a version of maybe a Tokyo Gurentai or a Real Japan Pro Wrestling, even.
Probably more Real Japan Pro Wrestling.
Maybe. Like I said, we'll see how it turns out. And Real Japan is a very fun company. A Real Japan that airs more is a total win in my book. I don't know how successful it'll be. You mentioned the ceiling of them. It feels to me like, to me, this is like a secondary group of Noah. Like, I still kind of feel that way. That was my feeling all along, and it kind of feels that way. I think we'll be seeing a lot of Noah guys on these shows. Yeah. You know,
I mean, they don't have a big roster, you know, so they'll probably have to bring in guys that fit and that can go the style. Like, for example, Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, for example, Kazushi Sakuraba, even.
All the Segurengun guys, I think, will be there. They've already kind of teased that they're like into that or whatever. Kendo Kashin will be in this group. But, you know, that's kind of what I feel like. It's going to be like a side group of Noah more than something that's going to rise up on its own. But that can still have a good purpose. If you have a different style, a different way to look at, you know, these guys in Noah, and maybe even get some spotlight on some indie guys and let them wrestle guys like Sugiura, you know, Marufuji, whoever, you know, in a different setting. I think that would work good. I wonder if they're going to be on Wrestle Universe as well.
That's interesting, because I think Lidded is not involved in any way with a DDT or Cyber Agent. Because they sold the company Cyber Agent, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They still sponsor the shows, though, in NOAH. Like, they're one of the sponsors.
Yes, they are, but I don't know if that necessarily means anything.
No, I mean, I just think that it's possible. Like, you know, if Wrestle Universe wants to have a different company, like, and one's working very intricately with NOAH, and all the guys in NOAH are a part of this roster, pretty much, I don't think that's that far-fetched to think that could be a possibility for them. But, you know, it may not even run that often, you know, as well. That's something that we have to think about. We don't know how long they're running. They're going to announce their first show, I believe, on YouTube very soon. I don't have the date right in front of me, but it's going to be very soon. They're going to announce their first show.
Given the names they announced, I do believe that they will run a format much like Big Mouth Aloud did back in the day.
Now, that makes a lot of sense.
Which would be monthly Kurikan Hall shows. Mm-hmm. With two guys they focus on mostly, and maybe they'll bring in a couple of more guys to their roster. We can speculate about the roster a little bit here in the next coming minutes. I don't see them doing a touring schedule, because that would really be hard right now. When Lidded first announced that they would be running a company, I was against it, because we just didn't need a new company in these circumstances, to be fair, because there really wasn't any place for that. I mean, Wrestle One closed down because they couldn't really get a footholding into the scene. But that also was because they didn't have that one niche. Their one niche was, we have young guys. We talked about that a couple of months ago. They ultimately failed to create a niche for themselves that would lead to them being more successful. With a company, though, that goes into that has a clear strategy and that has a clear pattern, and I still see this shoot style pattern as the one thing that could make the difference for this one. Still, though, a touring company would probably not be the right decision right now. Monthly Kurikan shows and seeing how successful they are, how that goes, would be the way to go.
And it's just a crazy thing to say, but ever since Wrestle One closed down, a lot of guys have moved on. You know, like, you know, a lot of people, like nearly everybody, like pretty much, that were big in Wrestle One has moved into better places, almost, or at least different ones, especially all the main characters. And I feel like there are just so many promotions in Japan. And, you know, like you said, we don't need another one. But a monthly show like this, that is a very unique style, maybe, and it could even help some young guys by working a completely different style. If Tamura is kind of like the mastermind behind the in-ring stuff,
yes,
I think that would be great. I totally agree with you. I would love that. And it would really improve the scene, I feel like, instead of take away from it. Whereas if another, like, let's just say a new Wrestle One had showed up and was going to do all the same stuff that they did, That to me makes the scene worse, not better.
That was my biggest fear when I heard that Kasayashi would be involved in this new group. I just figured that this would be just his successor company to Wrestle One. And luckily, it is seemingly not.
We still don't know what's going to happen with this company. Because like I said, there still are a lot of guys in the company. And on paper, that sounds great. But we need to see how all of these guys work together. Because these guys have all ran companies before, just like we mentioned.
I mean, it's going to take a lot for them to work together, actually, to create a show that really has a good flow. You know, because they've all ran so vastly different companies that it could be hard for them to create this one vision that goes together to a good product.
And that's really my concern. Like, I want to have high hopes for this, but I feel like there's potential for the deck of cards to come crumbling down at any moment's notice. And like you said, just if you tried to acquiesce all of these guys' previous styles, what are these cards going to look like? when you have a mix of Tokyo Gurantai, mix of Shoot Style, a mix of the Sports Entertainment, and whatever Choshi's doing, it's just a crazy card.
Hope is that Nosawa is satisfied with bringing in all his friends to Pro Wrestling Noah, so he doesn't have to bring them into Great now too. So let's speculate a bit on this potential roster, or potential guys that could be interesting to Great. For example, our good friend and listener B. McCooley on Twitter, he said the top ones for Great from his standpoint are Fuma, Takuya Nomura, Hideki Suzuki, Fuminori Abe, and Ryota Nakatsu.
Well, there's no reason they can't bring those guys in.
Sure.
Nomura is Big Japan, so I don't foresee him leaving, at least to sign a contract, but wrestling on the show.
No, we're not talking about guys leaving their company. Yeah. We're talking about guys potentially working the monthly shows.
Oh, well, all those guys. they all fit. Somebody like a Nomura and Abe, they fit perfectly in a Shoot Style scenario. Hideki obviously does as well. He would be very near the top of my list as well. And really all of those guys would be great. Nakatsu, somebody I think has a lot of upside. I think me and him were talking about that on Twitter. I was saying, man, this guy's such a good undercard talent. The indies aren't really that stacked with talent, to be honest. They're mostly gimmick workers. But he's one of the good ones. So I really love watching somebody like him. And to see him get a bigger spotlight, I would love. If you want my picks, I think you need to tune into Twitch and tune into ELW and all the guys on the roster that I've assembled. In fact, if you want to look at some of my favorites. But for real, though, Hideki, the Astronauts, both were good. If they could work with some of the DDT guys and Gambari Pro guys like Keisuke Ishii, Hagane Shino, maybe work with 2AW guys. You don't know. You don't know how far this is all going to reach out towards. Even somebody JTO guys, you could see Taka in there. Nosawa's old buddy. You never know. It just depends on, we don't really know the options right now, is more or less. So if you're looking at dream matches or whatever, or dream signings or, bookings, I guess would be more accurate. To me, Hideki would be at the top of the list. The Astronauts would be there.
Hideki would be perfect to build around this company.
Absolutely. I think he would be great. Remember, here's who I want to see brought in. All the guys from New need to come to Great. Because those guys had a lot of potential, and that just never got anywhere.
Keisuke Okuda, first and foremost, but he signed to Dragon Gate.
Yeah, well, Noah works with Mochizuki. Maybe Nosawa could ask her for a favor on the show. But all the other guys from New, the Chinese guys they had, bring them all in.
Bring them all in. Let's see. I actually hadn't pulled up the new exciting wrestling cards. The last cards that they did.
Hey, how many people do you think are listening that has no idea what that is? Even though it was just two or 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So let's backtrack on that a bit. New Exciting Wrestling was a project of Inoki Genome Federation.
Yes.
And they had me pretty excited for what they actually wanted to do, because they had a bunch of guys they trained. They had this connection to China. They had Simon Inoki as one of their office members, and they did actually train a bunch of these Chinese wrestlers that they had on their roster. And I remember that guys like Chan Jiangfeng and Ling Dongshuang, they really were very good.
Yes.
And they, I mean, they also had guys like Minoru Tanaka on their shows. They did have Katsunori Murakami on their shows. They did have Koei Sato too. Akira Joe, for example. Keisuke Kokuda, much like I mentioned. So, yes, I don't know whatever happened to these Chinese wrestlers, where they ever ended up. So that would be interesting too. Another interesting point, Dylan, is I looked up the final shows for U-Style, for example. The final show of U-Style in 2008. There are still some guys that work up until this day. For example, this Daisuke Nakamura dude, he also works Hard Hit a lot when Hard Hit promotes. He's good. He's a good shoot style wrestler.
Yeah, just to say, U-Style is Kiyoshi Tamura's old company.
Yes, I mentioned that before.
Yeah, yes, I do agree. That.
So that could be a guy. And then, of course, Masashi Takeda worked U-Style a lot. He's another freelance guy that could work that company.
He'd make perfect sense, too, if he wants to break out of deathmatch stuff and do something different. Why not?
And I mean, he got injured twice this year in deathmatch stuff. I know that he loves doing it, but maybe that would be the time to move on.
It would be a great time to move on, and he'd be a great person. If you'd have a company headed by Hideki Suzuki and shoot style Masashi Takeda, I'm pretty interested in that. Like, I think that's a pretty good company right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Then I also looked up some of the recent Hard Hit shows. You, of course, can also go with guys like Rocky Kawamura. You can go with Hideki Zekine, of course. You could use all the talent from Pro Wrestling Heat Up, like, for example, Yu Iizuka or Tetsuya Itsuki. They always work the Hard Hit shows that Hikaru Sato promotes. He would be another guy that would fit well.
Another great one.
A lot of possible wrestlers in the scene right now that go the style that great could be running.
Even guys like Yujiro Yamamoto, formerly of Hard Hit, and you know, Battle Arts as well. He's still around. He's still wrestling. Daisuke Kanahira from Heat Up, I think, would be a great option.
He also works Hard Hit a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. See, another great person to bring in there. What's Manabu Hara doing? I know he's still wrestling. Bring him in.
He's still wrestling from time to time. Yeah.
Do you know how old he is without looking it up?
No. He is 38.
38, exactly. How crazy is that? That's very young for his experience level. He's been wrestling for almost 20 years. He's only 38.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Another one who's still wrestling, by the way, is Daisuke Ikeda.
Yeah, I've seen it. I love Daisuke Ikeda.
I mean, he's 52.
And him and Noah was so, like, ugh. I was not a big fan of his work.
Did you, though, see the match that he hit with Yuki Ishikawa at Ambition 12?
Well, of course, but that's against Yuki Ishikawa. If they bring them together, okay, yes, they could have a match. But, like, as a recurring character, I'm not really that interested in that. Bring me Ikeda and Ishikawa for one big match. That's awesome. If Ishikawa would be willing to, like, come back for this, I'm sure he'd do, like, at least one match. But if you could bring those guys in, that would be great. No pun intended on that. I do think that it's going to be important to try to focus on more, like, not shoot style guys from the past. You know, like, they need to try and bring in some younger guys. I feel like if they want this to continue long term, that they should try and focus on more of the younger guys like Takeda. Even Hideki's not, you know, he's still, his age is up there, but he's not somebody from like 2003, you know, like Ikeda and Ishikawa are, you know, and I love those guys. I've always wanted Futen to be successful. Like, Battle Arts is my favorite company of all time. But, you know, maybe they could get some of those guys too from there. I would love to see that, but. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, I'm not even convinced that this is going to be a full shoot-style promotion, by the way.
Why not? Yeah.
Because of all the people running it. Like, just like I told you from the start. Like, Nosawa and these guys are going to want to have their say. And, you know, that's great for a first show. We've seen a lot of big promises for promotions.
You know what they should do? They should have a comedy match on each show that Nosawa books.
See, that would be great. Like they would be truly great to have one stupid match and a bunch of Tamura matches that I want. But then you have Choshu there. What's he going to favor? Kaz Hayashi. I mean, who knows what these guys' roles even are? I just think there's so much up in the air. And this is just me not wanting to get my expectations because I love all these guys. Like pretty much everyone we've said, I would love to have a bigger spotlight and a way to go along. Even the heat-up guys like Kanahira, I've been an advocate for him for years. And, you know, I know you're a big fan of his as well. So everybody should want to see these guys, but they don't have a big spotlight. It's hard to watch heat-up sometimes. So I would love for them to have this great promotion and let them have a big spotlight. I just want to keep my expectations in check because, again, shoot style has been all but lost to us for almost a decade now. And even then, it was out its dying days. You know, it really hasn't been a big thing for a long, long time now in Japan. So I really have to hold my expectations in check. And another thing I think we haven't even mentioned, and I think it's important to say, I don't think this is the best time in life to be starting a new company, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think could come back to bite some people.
Given what we said in our last episode, it could be very likely that they will be running their show in an empty arena in October.
You know, and that's the sad reality of it. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news because I'm excited too. I have to keep my expectations in check, all things considered.
I still have one idea though.
Okay, what's up?
Let's see what you think about this. I just looked up another shoot style company that was around in the mid-2000s until 2012. Style E Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
And there was one guy who worked this company a lot in 2008, for example. Keita Yano. And if they rebranded Keita Yano from Keita in the House to Keita in the Great, that would be something that I would be behind.
Well, I think we've all agreed that Keita in the House is one of the greatest workers in Japan. Perhaps of all time. So there's no reason why. Who would not want him? No, never mind great. Just any promotion should go for him.
Sure. But seriously, though, there are still some wrestlers that are around to this day that worked Style E. For example, Katsuhiro Tamura, Masa Takanashi, Shota, Tomohiko Hashimoto. So that could all be undercard or midcard guys to whatever they will be doing. So, as you said, we'll see about that.
Maybe even they could bring in Aoki from DDT and have him do a shoot style match if they can work together. Like I said, that's kind of like me speculating. But if they could try and get more closer to DDT and Wrestle Universe and all that, maybe you can bring in some of those guys from Gambari Pro or Aoki from DDT. If somebody, maybe Sakaguchi as well. He's got a shoot style type of background or, you know, an MMA background at least. Mm-hmm. So it would be pretty interesting. You have guys that you could go to make this work in Japan and have exciting shows.
You just have to look at the office that they have assembled. These guys pretty much have connections to everyone in Japan.
That's right.
So them not working with other companies, it's just impossible.
Yeah, they've got the power to do it, you know, pretty much. You can even bring in a guy like Minoru Suzuki from New Japan. He could be in for a one-off match. You know, he does some freelance shows from time to time. Mm-hmm. You know, you could bring in, like I said, there's so many guys, and these guys have connections to basically all of them. So, you know, like, you're going to have an interesting group of people, for sure.
You said earlier that Shotaro Oshino was a regular in All Japan, but... still, at this point, we don't know if he's contracted to All Japan. I think he's not.
I don't think he is either. None of them are, I don't think. He even said, he's like, I'm a freelancer, but this is my home base.
Main that battlefield. Was his first
set. Yeah, main battlefield. Okay, sure.
Yeah, so, man. It's at least exciting to talk about this and to have something to look forward to, even though we don't know what it is, what we're looking forward to.
What if it comes down to this, Sugar?
Oh, no.
Keiji Muto, shoot style champion, and great. Because he comes to Nosawa and says, look, I want that GHC title, buddy. I beat Kaito. It's time for me to get my gold. And he says, no, we can't do that, but I do have this other promotion. Is that something you want to see?
Look, we can bring back the Wrestle One Championship and have it defended.
Yes.
In great, and you can be the first champion.
Yes, Muto, Wrestle One Champion in great. That's Nosawa's highlight of booking great. Is gonna
you know, the one thing that has held Masayuki Kono back, by the way, is that his first name begins with an M and not his last name.
He's another guy that could very well be in there.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Why not? He great is calling.
Yeah. Man. That's we'll see how that all unfolds and what the first card will look like, and then we'll probably can paint a much more of a clear path of what they'll probably do in the future. But Dylan, we can't finish this show without talking about Eastern Lariat Wrestling. What's going on?
Oh yes, twitch.tv/ShadowsOverHeaven, my Twitch channel. And thank you to everybody who tuned in, both on the live stream and later on. We're still building our group. I'm on the path to 50 followers, which I'm not sure what that means exactly, but I've been told that's a big deal on Twitch. Like, that's some kind of, like, you get some kind of award or something. So I'm hopeful to see what I get when I get to 50. But we're on the way. We're doing good stuff. Followers gaining by the day. 2 times a week I do episodes. On Saturdays, which, you know, you'll be able to watch on, twitch.tv/ShadowsOverHeaven. You can watch them anytime you want after they take place for 2 weeks, because that's how long Twitch gets them up. I'm trying to work on a way to export the videos to YouTube. I'm not really sure how to do that, but I'm going to try to find a way so we can watch them forever, pretty much. Because I think if anything needs to be archived, it's Eastern Lariat Wrestling. So Saturdays, I do the stream about the show itself, and we're going to have a big show Saturday, main evented by Kohei Sato taking on Takashi Sugiura in a match that started in NOAH. They had a NOAH last week, and Sugiura won. Sato's going for his revenge. Semi-main event is Kairi Hojo going on match 2 of her 7-match trial series back to Japan versus Miyu Yamashita from Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Ooh.
And that's right. And the triple main event, the 3rd match, Yuji Hino, representing Striga's faction, Sego no Shogun. He will take on a new freelancer that the listeners and the viewers campaigned for. I would not have brought him in if they didn't say so, but they gave me the idea. And much like Keiji Muto bringing in Goldberg, it cost the promotion a lot of money to bring him in. So thank you for that. Thank you, viewers. But Bobby Lashley left WWE in the Eastern Lariat Wrestling universe, and he will be coming to face Yuji Hino in a one-on-one match. What a great triple main event I've put together, as well as the semifinals of the Trios Tag Tournaments. Both of our teams will be in that, as well as the first round of the Women's Tag Team Titles Tournament, the J-Tag titles. So that should be a lot of fun. Thursdays, which is what I did right before we recorded this, I do Fighting Road, which is the career mode, single-player career mode. I actually play the game as well as stream at the same time. So I'm like giving commentary over my own matches, pretty much. In Fighting Road, I've officially graduated from being a young lion. There was a lot of drama on this week's episode because the first episode was all about dojo training, and this week was as life as a young lion. I go through the Young Lions Cup in New Japan, and a lot of the factions, they're trying to figure out which group I should be in. Should it be Chaos? Should it be LIJ? Should it be the main unit? Unfortunately, they kept putting me in these stupid heel matches where they wanted me to cheat a lot. So that was really not my style as a wrestler in life or in the game, and I did not fare too well. Unfortunately, that led to Sonata, of all people, inviting me to a diner. And we had a dinner date in career mode. Who wrote this? I don't know. But that's what happened. You could see my reactions. You could see what I thought about his disapproval. Because he did not like our match together when we tag team, unfortunately. I will spoil that. Naito, what did he say? Will I be an LIJ member? And what happened in the Young Lions Cup? All the answers are given on twitch.tv/shadowsoverheaven.
The one question about Sonata that I have, Dylan, is did he order a steak or did he order a steak-like piece of meat?
Okay, I'm going to spoil this part of the show because it was kind of funny. So I go into the diner in this career mode, and literally all he does is sit there and say nothing. Literally,
well,
on the text.
That is Sonata.
Literally on the text screen, I would sit there and it would say, it would pop up, Sonata stares at you with an unreadable expression. And then I would be like, hey. And then it would be like, Sonata stares at you with an unreadable expression. And then even
it's very frightening how realistic this game is.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then suddenly Naito showed up, so you didn't just stare at each other for 10 minutes. But even after the match, that's exactly what happened. I looked in the ring. I was supposed to do this heel LIJ match. And I was like, oh man, how did I do? Did I do good enough? Did he like it? Did I suck? What happened? And then Sonata, it just popped him up on the screen, and he looked at me and said, it's like, your eyes meet in a gaze. And he stares at you with an unreadable expression on there. So that was Sonata's influence on my career. And hopefully they will not make me join LIJ because I do not want to team with him with this gimmick that he has currently. But yes, a very realistic simulation of what life would be like for me if I did enter the New Japan Dojo. And I'm all the way up. The first episode was 2%, but we made a really big jump on the second episode. Guess how much I got to this week.
8.5%.
Oh, that's right, big time. And I will go on excursion. What will I do? I'm in a promotion in San Francisco that I've never heard of that they've sent me to, and it should be very interesting to see how it goes. But I did like something very realistic about the game too. I mentioned this on the stream, but when I go to the American promotion for my excursion, they show the locker room that I'm in, and it looks exactly like my school locker room that I was in, like exactly the same, down to the color of the lockers. It had the same benches. I thought it was very awesome that they put that in the game. But yes, this career mode is something else. Like whoever designed this had quite an imagination when it comes to this. But remember, this is what life would be like if wrestling was real.
Yeah.
Also one thing I like too about the game is that they kind of mentioned like, it's not just about winning. You have to entertain the fans. So they kind of get around. Sure. Yeah, they get around kayfabe like in a very interesting way. So very cool stuff. Check it out on Twitch. I really appreciate all the watches and the views and all that. Like I said, even if you can't watch it live, just tune in anytime you want. The whole video is up there. It's a lot of fun. It goes around an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours for both shows. So good stuff there if you got nothing better going on.
Absolutely. So please check that out on Twitch. And please also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/EastonLariat. And unless, Dylan, there's anything you want to add?
Tournament headquarters Tournament on Patreon headquarters. And on the free show as well.
Absolutely. So this has been the Easton Lariat for this week. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.